something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
I had a profound experience at Joshua Tree National Park, buds.
We play a game, Remember That, featuring Bowling for Dollars and other classics.
Hey, cow money for birthday. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Yellow.
There he is.
How's it going, bud?
Well, I'm in Lady Orlando, bud.
Orlando.
So here's what happened since
where you get the looks when you're wearing a mask.
Yep. Yes, I am in a minority of people whose face is covered. It's true.
That's the vibes, right?
You see, there are kind of three buckets of folks here. There are those that, wear a mask and social distance and hand sanitize and stuff. There are those that have tried to customize their trip here with, like, Disney masks. Like, what if the whole family gets Disney masks? So at least, you know, we're wearing masks, but it's more fun. And then the biggest bucket of people is the what now? Like that group of people that for whom it just does not exist. Despite signs and stuff saying, hey, you really should. There aren't many folks, I would say, sweating the pandy here.
It's unbelievable, huh?
So since we last spoke, I had a few days between gigs. I was in San Diego, you might recall. And because of the testing and the risk and the hours required to travel home. Normally, I would have flown home the second I was done and come back down, even if it meant more travel. But in this case, I actually had to cool my jets for 3 days, which was a very weird experience for me because, A, I was alone, and B, I'm used to doing whatever it takes to get home to the fam. So I had some work to do, and that helped. And then on Saturday, I took a road trip out to the Joshua Tree.
Oh, nice.
Have you been?
It's a good time. Yeah, lots of times.
800,000 acres of man am I small in the big picture. And it was a little cold, like not complaining by what's going on in Canada right now standards, but like 5 degrees, 8 degrees was maybe the warmest it got, and pretty windy. But there aren't many places. This is the thing that I loved about having a rowboat, is there aren't many places in the world where I can feel alone. Or I shouldn't say in the world. There are lots in the world. But in my world, there aren't many places where I'm like, man, it is silent and I'm by myself. And that's really important, I think. So just the vastness of it was wild. And also just trying to uncondition or decondition myself to fight the urge to move. I should really get back. I should really get back to work. I should really whatever. I had nothing to do. And
yeah, that's when you're fighting that, like, yeah, that's interesting because I know all about that. Looking for something to do when you're on, like, being on the road and just days off and stuff like that. That feeling of just, you're kind of, okay, you got to make a situation here.
Yeah.
And you do when you're in a place like that and you're like, well, okay, let's do the check off the list here. Yeah, Joshua Tree is a great time, man.
I know. And the internal wrestling nice match place. Between I should really, and then realizing, no, you know what I should really do? Is sit and think and take in this view and not be in a hurry. That, like, to drive all the way out there, it would be doing a disservice to myself to not actually take it in. So I purposely left my phone in the car and I wandered and climbed and sat and looked and stared, and it was really cool. It, on so many levels. One is all of the life that's thriving in this harsh, dry climate, like trees and plants, and they're not only unusual compared to the things we normally see, but when you also think about how resourceful they are to flourish in a climate like that, like it's just cool. And then I actually posted about this. I was climbing this kind of mountain range, and it was such a light bulb moment, because sometimes I'd be halfway up and I couldn't keep going straight. I had to backtrack and walk around, and it took longer, and it wasn't the straightest line between two destinations, but it was safer and made more sense. So sometimes being methodical about something, even if you have to backtrack a little, is the better way to get there. And it's so on the nose as an analogy or metaphor or whatever, but it was like, oh yeah, sometimes you can't just ram straight through. You have to be methodical. So that kind of physicality, reminding me about how to tackle challenges in life and stuff. And if you're patient, and might not be the way you plan, but you will get there. Like it was such a productive day for being such a quiet day by myself. It was great.
That's awesome. And it's probably been a while since you've done that.
Yeah, it sure has. And one of the things that I have to contend with is guilt, because I feel like, man, Carol's got horses and kids and cats and yeah, dogs and groceries and meals, and it's minus 20, and I'm going for a walk in the Joshua tree. Give me a break.
You're kicking dusty rocks around and like whistling.
And thinking, well, I should probably only sit for another 4 hours before I should think about getting back. But she, of course, never says anything other than, I think you should do something for yourself, and why don't you do something fun? Like,
for sure.
None of that's coming from her. It's all coming from me. But of course,
especially since you haven't done it like in years, so you know what I mean. Like, you have to at least enjoy it while you can, instead of otherwise you're not going to, you know. And then that's like, then if you can't have fun when you're supposed to give yourself a chance to, then it's really bad, you know.
Yeah,
you have to let the crock pot air out.
yeah, for sure. It was so doing nothing was huge, is I guess the most succinct way I can put it. It was really
sure
memorable, and it was a good reset for sure.
That's amazing.
Just to get out and blow the stink off you, as they say.
Yeah, and then you're back home this afternoon, which is great.
Yeah, I had to come to Orlando for a couple of days of work. Really nice people. As I mentioned, I was a little kind of apprehensive about the whole trip. But the one thing that I needed was a negative test to get back to Canada. Of course, I had that yesterday. It's negative. I'm good to go. But I think I exhaled for the first time the whole time I was down here when I got that test result, because Carol and I were talking about this morning. It's not offensive. It's not like, where can I go? I'm going to pop in here. Or I look at that store. Where should we go for dinner? It's, what is the least human contact I can have to get something warm in a paper bag? Right? It's defensive. Yeah, you're totally retreating to your room. You're staying outside. You're not living. You're kind of putting in the time and trying to avoid humans. So it's a bit of a reprogram in that way too. And as I said, not by Canadian standards, but yesterday morning it was 3 degrees here, which is not peak Disney weather anyway.
No.
So yeah, I'm just treading water till my bird this afternoon.
Nice. Well, I wish I could say it was as eventful here. We've been just kind of hanging out. The kids are at school, which is kind of makes me a little bit nervous, but hopefully everything's all right. I haven't heard of any other kids having to go home, but again, right now they don't say anything until there's 30% plus in the classroom that are gone.
Yeah,
the new don't no see him rules, which makes no sense. Just got fingers crossed that everything's cool.
How do they feel about it, by the way?
The same. I mean, as much as they don't want to get COVID, they still want to kind of be more interactive with their school. So I think it's a 50-50 thing. And I don't know. The just the only concern that we all have is Lisa's mom, right? So it's just kind of just trying to be really careful.
Yeah.
But I had a buddy that has got it twice now, and he said the second time he got it was way worse than the first time. So much for the you get it and you're good theory, you know.
The guy who did my test yesterday, I said, have you had it? And he's like, oh, yeah, a few times. Like, excuse me? He said, well, when you think about it, I'm confronted with it all the time, but I'm young and I'm fit and I just get through it. A few times?
Yeah. There's the herd mentality idea.
Exactly.
Out the window. So anyway, we've just been trying to keep it together here. And the only place that we didn't have to do in the house, like, you know what I mean, in terms of, it could obviously be updated, but everything is working and everything's cool. But the shower in our bathroom, all of a sudden there's like a spot of water underneath it on the floor below. So like, oh man. So now we're thinking, okay, we have to do that bathroom at least to make sure that that's not an issue. So we're also looking into whether it could be an insurance, but I don't know. I don't know if that really works when it's a 30-year-old shower.
You have to be careful with that stuff, because if there's a deductible and you end up paying more and your premium goes
up.
You know?
There's a for sure. So anyway, we're all weighing all the issues for the time being. There's no showers going on in there. And it's one of those old kind of open the door and get in anyway in the corner deals.
Yes. Like you know what I mean? You like can't see through the glass.
Yeah. And you like have to, you know, when the water's cold, you gotta like creep into the corner like a like you're in prison hiding.
So
so yeah.
You don't use that anymore? Who's showers? Kinda
gotta go anyway, but like what? What's that?
Whose shower is it?
You're I can't hear you for some reason.
Whose shower is it?
Oh, it's ours in the bedroom bathroom.
Oh, it's like your primary bedroom shower.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have designated bathrooms in your house? Like you use the one in the basement and it's kind of everyone knows that?
Well, there's a bathroom on the main floor. And that's across from Lisa's mom's room, so that she uses that one, and anyone who's kind of guest would use that one. And anyone, just it's the main floor, right? And then there's two upstairs. So there's not like bathrooms all over the place.
Right.
There's one in our bedroom, and then there's another one in the main kind of walkway to the other bedrooms.
Do the kids share a bathroom?
That's the thing. It's like everybody's got... Yeah, but they at least there's two. We put two sinks in there.
Sick.
So they can brush their teeth in the morning together. That because that ends up being the only issue. It's not like taking showers or baths. It's more like in the morning. I have 5 minutes because I've pushed everything off and I gotta get in there at the same time as you, right? So usually it's more like getting in there to brush your teeth and hair or whatever before school. So there's enough room for the two people to be in there and ours to be open. But anyway, got to fix this shower in our room. And it's an unexpected thing that we have to do, but got to do it, I guess, the way it goes.
Yeah. And it's the kind of thing that, like, you have to do it at some point. So if you know that, you might as well just get it done. Because if you wait 2 years to do it, then you just don't use your shower in your room for 2 years. And what's the point of that?
Man, I got the cracklies going with you for some reason.
Do you?
Couldn't make that much of that out.
Okay, I'm going to take my AirPods out.
The bathroom. Yeah, what's that? Sorry?
Is that better? Is that better?
I don't know what's good. Yeah, I can hear you now. But it's like every time I ask you something, it disappeared.
Okay, let's take a break, bud.
We're back.
And we're back.
All audio sorted.
Had some technical issues that I thought maybe had to do with being close to the airport, because I know when we were shooting something yesterday, air traffic control was messing with our walkies.
turns out it was all me, bud.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, I'm so, because of my country internet, I'm so gun shy. It's raining here.
I know.
And I was like, oh, maybe the rain is interfering with the internet. But I think that's just at my house.
Yeah. No, you're all set. It's crystal clear now.
Phew.
We all set over here. Okay, so.
It's 81.
Yeah, 81.
You pulled 81. Some 81 jams.
Well, I did. I pulled a classic, one of my late Uncle John's favorite artists.
Wait, is John named after your late Uncle John?
No. Lisa's father was named John.
John's but, everywhere.
In spirit, there is some Johns on both sides. My, actually, mother's dad's name was John.
Really?
Born. So it's out there. Lisa's brother's name was John.
Really?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jared, do any of your children have a special someone in their life yet? Like, has that started to creep in?
No.
No.
Like a girlfriend?
Yeah, or boyfriend? No one's like putting their feelers out there?
No. And, you know, John will be 16 in March. And Jack is, he's 14. So, but they're, from the sense that I get, they're just, at this point, they're too busy with things to be on that tip yet.
Were you a late bloomer in that regard?
Yeah. Definitely, for sure.
So you weren't wheeling and dealing in high school?
I wasn't wheeling and dealing in high school. No, I was joking it up, as they say, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Sure do.
Few jokes, few laughs, maybe a hold of a hand. That's that.
No pulling the fun rope just yet.
Yeah, but mind you, you know, I was in the band at 18, you're out there.
And does that help with like meeting girls?
Definitely in terms of like talking to people and meeting people, for sure.
I was being a little bit facetious.
It's a lot different.
Yeah. It's a good opener.
Then grade 9.
Then new guy in grade 9? Yeah. Really? So Rock Band works better than that, huh? Yeah,
a lot different. Yeah.
Hit me with this juice.
Do you want to hear the juice?
Yeah.
Okay, here it comes. Oh, there's some heavy Phil Spector-like production here.
For anyone who thought it was going to be Orange Juice Jones walking in the rain, they are very surprised.
Ba-da-ba-bum! Neil Diamond styles?
Here comes. Oh, it's okay. Not.
Kicking. No. Yeah. Verse still. Or the pre-chorus.
Pre-chorus and bridge is the same thing, right?
No. Very different. Pre-chorus sets up the chorus.
Three.
This is it.
Four.
Bridge is what you put after the second chorus, generally, to take your listener away. To a different place because they're tired of hearing the verse and chorus.
But sometimes I feel like you just jammed that bridge in there. It doesn't need it.
Well, sometimes it feels like... I think a bridge is supposed to be something to take you away in a nice way, like a palate cleanser.
But sometimes you're like, you know what I mean? I'm enjoying this taste so much, I don't want my palate cleansed.
Yeah, like it's like every breath you take, for example, right? Like it doesn't, I don't think it really goes. It kind of goes to different places, but it kind of, you know, it's a different kind of thumbprint for how to do a formula for a song, right?
S-S-S-S-A-A-A-A.
Oh, that, yeah.
E-E-E-T-T.
Somebody informed me that was from the actual remix, dance remix. That exists.
Oh, interesting. That makes sense. 3, 4. I remember this song, man. I'm at Skate Country, just outside of Charlottetown.
Roller skating?
Yeah. The cool guys skate backwards and like slow dance, but the less cool guys had to skate forwards and hold hands.
And then there was like the fancy rolling and then like the hockey style rolling.
Yeah. But generally,
which is like body checking guys.
Generally, yeah, body checking each other. Generally, the people that were athletic could roller skate pretty well. Like the hockey guys were good at roller skating, even though they're kind of different. Remember how heavy roller skates felt on your feet when you first put them on?
You know, I don't think I ever put on roller skates and roller skated in my whole life.
Bud?
I skated, but I never roller skated. I've roller bladed with just the blades, but never the roller skates.
Like Manhattan Beach style?
Yeah, I've heard that the roller skates is like way harder than roller blading.
It is.
Yeah, because it's like you have balance on the four wheels on both, which is like pretty intense.
Yeah, it's intense. That
takes away the balance. Like you've created a balance on two things, which is tricky, right? Because if one goes off, you're done.
Also, rollerblades have they're like micron skates with ankle support, and they kind of go midway up your shin. Roller skates are often in like pleather booties.
Yeah, Lisa has a pair she found somewhere. I don't know where she got them, but like they're in the basement, but they're like total 70s roller skates that like have the leather. They're actually like the yellow leather.
Wow.
And they have like the big, they look brand new. Like someone bought them and just put them in a box and left them for 30 years or something.
Crazy.
But
Carol has roller skates too.
Difficult.
Remember Roller Girl from,
yes.
Yeah. Heather Graham. That was the first time I saw her.
Yeah. I remember Roller Derby being on TV every Saturday. You remember that?
No.
You don't remember the Roller Derby?
No.
Girls go ripping around and pounding into each other, or guys doing it like back in the 80s.
Well, I know what.
Roller derby was a thing on the Saturday afternoon, like bowling for dollars around that era.
I remember, I know the concept of roller derby, and I know that it's kind of.
This rolls perfectly, and rolls is the word, into our game. Remember that?
Yeah. Do you think member that requires any additional setup, or do you think it's quite clear?
That's it. That's perfectly it. Remember that? And what were we just saying? I said bowling for dollars, which I'm sure you remember.
But no, you said roller derby.
Roller derby, yes.
But bowling for dollars?
You don't remember that?
No.
Come on, no way, really?
Well, I remember Bowl for Millions. I think that was a Big Brother's, Big Sister's fundraiser.
No, there'd be guys like rolling, and it's like, all right, you got to take a spare, $10. Like, it was literally not much.
How? Did you guys bowl a lot as a kid?
Yeah, bowling was a thing for sure.
Yeah, because it's kind of affordable family entertainment.
I remember in Alliston, we used to rock the bowling alley there.
Yeah.
I'm going to... look, see, I found it. I found Bowling for Dollars on...
What? Was it a TV show?
Yeah. It was 5-pin.
Listen to that theme. Oh, man.
Look. Here's Jeff Hutchison.
Hutchie, welcome back to another program here on Bowling for Dollars. Nice to have you joining us again this week. If you're joining us for the first time, nice to have you along. Of course, our rules here at Twin City Bowl and Water.
It's literally a bowling alley that's like open. It sounds like people are just like hanging out in the back in the bar. And he's standing there at a podium with a bunch of money in the clear podium. There's cash in it.
Have we?
And then there's a tally, an LED tally to the right of them that says $4,425, which I assume would be the total, because they just keep a running total and no one ever wins the $4,000. They win like $50.
Aww. So was this like TVO or something? I have no recollection of this.
It might have been Ontario TV, like maybe a CHCH jam, like in, or like one of those. You
like
know
I've heard
saying?
The phrase, but I've never seen the show.
Like the Hammer, maybe it was in the Hammer on CHCH.
And then tries to throw three consecutive strikes. If that happens, the bowler and the pin pal at home will share our jackpot.
Oh, the bowler at home shares the jackpot.
I love
that
there's a home bowler. That's maybe my favorite part.
Every week, gets to come back for another shot at our jackpot. We put $25 in the jackpot every time we don't have a winner, and we'll also tell you how you can get a Bowling for Dollars sweatshirt, and you'll hear about our two-strike bonus envelope. So
there's a lot of info.
There's
off
a lot
the top
going on. Yeah, that's a heavy stand-up
show. Like that's like these ripping out like 14 different things that happened.
That's why they need a game like Remember That, which requires no additional setup. Here's how Remember That works. We're gonna each bring up things that the other person may or may not remember.
Let's see how I know, right? And then go on for 5 minutes still after that.
And if in the deck of cards you pull a face card, then the viewer at home has to check their drawers. And if they can find the same face card, then you get 15% of the overall jackpot of $4,000.
Let's listen to him tap dance one more time.
Here's the tee up.
Yeah.
Now. Here's Jeff Hutchison.
Welcome back to another program.
Yeah, hold on.
Wait.
Oh, hold on. See how he's like hammering it so early because he has so much info to get in.
He's coming in hot.
He's coming in super hot.
Wait, is that Jeff Hutchison from like Canada AM fame?
I think so. Yes. Yes.
Crazy.
Okay, listen.
Now. Here's Jeff Hutchison.
Welcome back to another program here on Bowling for Dollars. Nice to have you joining us again this week. If you're joining us for the first time, nice to have you along. Of course, our rules here at Twin City Bowling Waterloo are very simple. Our
Waterloo!
A pin pal out of our pin pal bin, and then tries to throw three consecutive strikes. If that happens, the bowler and the pin pal at home will share our jackpot.
Pin pal!
We don't have three consecutive strikes, so we pay $2 a pinfall. That money, too, is split between the bowler and the pin pal at home. Our high pinfall winner every week gets to come back for another shot at our jackpot. We put $25 in the jackpot.
Oh, my God.
We don't have a winner, and we'll also tell you how you can get a Bowling for Dollars sweatshirt.
They're like, and fucking make sure you get that sweatshirt in again at the beginning because he's like got so much, and then he throws in the sweatshirt for people at home.
I was thinking I would probably just put up at the end of the show like all participants receive a bowl for dollar sweatshirt. He's like, I don't know if that needs to be in the copy.
Okay, listen, let's back her up a second here.
Split between the bowler and the pin pal at home. Our high pinfall winner every week gets to come back for another shot at our jackpot. We put $25 in the jackpot every time we don't have a winner, and we'll also tell you how you can get a Bowling Dog sweatshirt, and you'll hear about our two-strike bonus envelope. So, gosh, it's
two-strike bonus
show.
Envelope?
Yeah, he just fired that.
Guys, that's too much information.
At the end.
That's too much information.
You can tell he's just like a monster now because he's doing this show for like collecting and firing it out there.
He's really good. And I wonder if he even had a prompter. Probably not.
No. Okay, let's go back a sec here and then.
What's his eye line?
What do you mean? Like where is he?
Is he looking off beside the camera, like at a cue card or something? Or is he reading cards in his hand?
He's kind of far away. He's probably like 15 from the camera feet.
Oh,
like,
man. Hutchinson's
behind
such a
the podium.
Too.
So, like, it seems to me pretty far away, and I don't see a guy. I can't see a guy holding cue cards.
Just
no
killing
way.
It.
You just hear people, like, having beers behind him in the drink section.
I'm going to ask him.
Oh, yeah.
$10 in the jackpot. Every time we don't have a winner, and we'll also tell you how you can get a Bowling for Dollars sweatshirt, and you'll hear about our two-strike bonus envelope. So, gosh, it's an exciting show every week, isn't it? Here we go. You can be a pin pal once a month. So keep
oh, it's not money in this.
Your friends.
This is a big Tumblr thing. It's not money. He's burling it around right now. He's about to pull out a card and give something away. Okay,
is
ready?
You can be a contestant. Once a year. Now, if you're just joining us and you haven't been with us for the past couple of weeks, have we got a jackpot for you? Let's put $25 in this thing to start. $4,450. $4,450 in the Bowling for Dollars jackpot to start things out today.
People are fired up.
Cash there. We knew that during this show someone would likely win, so we didn't let anybody win until you guys got here. And then that way, you'll have the $4,000 jackpot for yourself.
So he's firing up the locals.
Oh, man. How many people are there?
Marianne Walker. Marianne.
Like 20?
Hi, Marianne. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Not too bad. Let's get the two-strike bonus envelope.
Okay, here comes somebody.
People at home, what that is. Do you know what that two-strike bonus
envelope is? It's a two-strike. She doesn't know. She just hands it to him.
It's a six. So what this means is, if Marianne gets two strikes and not three, we'll multiply your total by six.
Okay.
Not too bad. Okay.
not too bad.
You're a craft person?
Yes.
What is that? Is it?
I work. Can I tell you where I work?
Absolutely.
I work for a company called Plantel, and
she's real nervous.
Drafting at home sketches. The engineers go out in the field, draw plan, and then I draft it.
Oh, and what
contract
kind of
work?
Yeah, what kind of things do they?
Bill Canada.
He's really digging in here.
And cables and aerial cable and whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds pretty interesting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing
that? I'd say about 8 months.
Oh, so you just started.
And where's the camera, Denise? I want some work. Thank you.
There you go. A shout out for gigs.
Hey, I love it.
There it is, right there.
here we go.
Who's Denise?
She's my boss.
Oh, she's your boss. Okay. And hopefully she'll still be your boss after the show.
All right. So this is going on and on. He's about to announce the choice, I think.
Now you do some oil painting, too?
Oh, no. He starts going on about more stuff here.
What ornaments do you paint?
Oil painting.
Ornaments for the trees, and I give them to relatives, and I sell them sometimes.
Oh, good.
Depends.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's meet the people you brought
with. I would watch the show.
Hold on a second.
Gosh.
There's a whole family there.
By the way, I sent him a message to ask if he had a teleprompter.
Eight people. Okay, I'm going to skip to the actual bowling here.
Can you give me a nine shot? It's the rare nine shot.
I think she's about to bowl here.
And Dorothy,
here she comes. She's picking up the pin or the ball.
Contestant
or the bowling ball.
Her two-strike bonus number is six.
So she's about to roll the five pin here.
Okay. So what do I need to have at home to win?
I don't know. Number six? She got
two. Three, still a chance to spare this up.
Spare it up.
She's about to roll the spare here. Three on the left. Here it comes. And, oh, she just got one.
Still a chance here to get some pinfall money. $2 a pinfall, of course, is what we pay.
$2 a pin they pay.
Yeah, there you go. I would have been stoked with $2 a pin.
Yeah, she got
job. Okay, that's $30.
$30.
Okay. Oh,
wait, that's $30.
That's not nothing.
There we go. Yeah.
She cleared it.
Thanks a lot. Okay, right.
Thank you.
That's Marianne Walker from Kitchener, and that means, though, we have to increase our jackpot by $25, and this will now give us
$4,000. Wow, there's a lot of to unpack here. So they just people come up. And they have to get three strikes in a row, I guess, to get something going. Otherwise, it's like $30, $40.
Well, what but get something going? What is that, the jackpot?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's just here comes bowling? Another person.
Every Friday night.
Every Friday? Whereabouts?
Waterloo Lanes.
Waterloo Lanes. Seven there for your two-strike bonus number. Okay, you're another bingo player. Have you won, like, big at bingo?
All right, here we go. Let's see if she... She's got her whole family there, too.
Right?
Man.
I hope that's correct.
Like, including, like, the grandparents. I'm not kidding. Like, seven people.
Well, there's no internet. What else are people going to do?
There we go.
Thank you.
Nice of you to come on the show. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, so you didn't get a spare.
That's Roseanne Martin. We'll be back to get that jackpot even higher right after this. So stay with us.
All
right.
So now you know. Now you're getting the feel. Like, I just feel like I was... It's 1980 whatever, and I'm hanging out on the couch waiting for beach
Does it
beach
say
comics.
1980 what? Like, what is that, kind
on
of
the
mid-80s?
Video?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I'm guessing it's probably like 86 or around there.
Oh,
maybe
man.
Mid to late.
It's
like
the best.
No, right around the 85 Blue Jays drive, that vibes. So, yeah.
Attaboy,
Bowling
Jeff.
For dollars. Remember that.
No,
I remember
is
that.
The short answer. I know the phrase, but I don't know the show. Have we ever talked about, I can't remember in 281 hours, if we've ever talked about the French-Canadian mini-putt tour?
Oh, yeah. I don't think we have talked about
that. Can you
that,
bring that up on the YouTube?
I will.
In
it's
the
really
80s,
great.
There was, I remember sending it to Jay Onright, there was a mini-putt golf tour but there were announcers, and it was treated like it was the PGA.
The real,
like all those parodies we do of French Canadian announcers. These guys actually are that.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Et c'est un birdie. The Gauts has an birdie. Mini putt, but given the PGA treatment.
I know, I've seen it. I just
if you put Quebec mini putt,
I did.
Girl,
it's really hard. Oh man, that's so good. I know it.
I'm gonna find it. Did you look mini putt Quebec? I found
it. Yeah, and oh,
Carl Carmoni. C-A-R-L.
Okay.
Carmoni. C-A-R-M-O-N-I. Carl Carmoni birdie.
Okay, I got it now. I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, let it rip.
Finalement, Carl Carmoni. Le Abreville. À moins que Carl ne déclenche une avalanche de... C'est la bagarre qui commence... avec Carl Carmoni, champion des bourses. Et dès le départ, Belling Carmoni, birdie.
Birdie. No,
he's like... numéro 2 en carrière, Carl Carmoni, en 4 birdies.
It's a long putt here.
Présence.
And it's,
oh, attention.
It's going in.
Birdie.
they're doing the like fist pumps c'est and everything.
Et la distance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, over the jump.
Birdie! Birdie pour Carmoni!
This guy's crushing it.
This, incroyable!
He's acting like he's like...
Birdie, sinon c'est terminé. La ligne...
No way! He just missed one.
Spectator buy-in.
But you know, it's like... those mini putts, like it's all shitty. It goes like way left and then way right. You know, around the hole.
Yeah, it's been, and the turf been is like ripped. 20 years.
Yeah. It's, there's a ball like it's not even close, and then it's like sucks in the back.
Yeah, there's a floby that sucks your ball.
Yeah, or it like does a big, huge left turn before the hole and totally misses. That's what's going on now. He's missing, like, even where it's, like, right in our...
Carl Carmoni is missing?
Well, because it's those crappy mini putts where it's, like, cement, and the cement's actually all worn in or whatever, so it's just, like...
Carl
there's
Carmoni.
A, there's a big left turn right at the end just from footprints.
Imagine, like, there's one thing about being a pro mini golfer on the circuit... Imagine being a pro mini golf spectator and going watch.
No, but that place was packed. There was stands around the mini putt, right. And it was packed. So yeah, that's bizarre. It's a thing.
I'm into
for
it
for sure. What was the other member that I was we were talking about?
Well, I was talking about one earlier before we started about the Peter Zosky TV show 90 Minutes Live.
Oh, that's right.
And how Peter Zosky was unbelievable on the radio, and he wasn't exactly telegenic. He wasn't a TV star looking by any means, and he was on the darts, and there was ashes on his tie and stuff. But there was an episode of 90 Minutes Live where they were doing a Cuisinart demonstration, and Pierre Burton, who was the guest... From Front Page Challenge, right?
Yeah.
And he reached his finger in the Cuisinart as a joke during the demonstration. And then what no one saw on the show is that he actually cut his finger really badly and it was bleeding like crazy. And he held it behind his back until they threw the commercial. And then everyone was like, oh my God, he's bleeding. When I think of like, remember that in Canadian TV, that's one. Another one is...
You know what I'm saying? The sports media world, familiarity sometimes breeds contempt. I'll give you a reason why.
I'm trying, totally got the wrong thing going on.
Who's here. That? Grapes?
I don't know. It's somebody, someone blaring and yelling. That's not it.
I would say other big moments in Canadian TV. Remember Rick Mercer's Talking to Americans?
No.
Do you remember that, or were you away for that, maybe?
Yeah.
You might have lived elsewhere.
I'm not sure if I remember that.
He made a show called Talking to Americans, and, you know, he would track down senators and presidents and governors and say, like, do you have any words of support for Prime Minister Jean Poutine? And just, bait the hook to let them hang themselves and look dumb. And Talking to Americans was, I think, the highest rated show in Canadian history. Like 3 million people watched it or something. It was huge.
Nice. That's the masters of the Mercers.
Yeah, man. People underestimate how hard it is to do what he did, which is stay virtually untouchable for 2 decades and then go, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, that was a solid piece out, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he just kind of stopped. He decided, I'm not going to make the show anymore. It wasn't like it was canceled. It wasn't like the audience left. He was like, okay, bye.
Nobody's doing anything right now, but was he doing stand-up even after?
Well, I think he's doing a Just for Laughs tour.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And he wrote a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
/ whatever he damn well pleases.
Yeah, exactly. Like he did the CBC New Year's Eve show, like that kind of thing. I think he kind of drops in, stays relevant, goes away. I don't think he's hurting for dough.
No, I don't think so. I think that's, does he live in Newfoundland?
I know they have a place there, but I also know they have a place in Toronto, so I don't know what the split is. I don't know if since the show's done, if he spends more time in Newfoundland or not.
It's good times up there.
Newfoundland?
They got everything.
I know. I haven't been since we were there to do our show a few years ago. Remember when Andrew and Patrick picked us up at the airport? The boss?
Yeah.
With Salt and Vinny's?
I know. I love that. I just remember, and you just see that for such a small space in comparison to other major cities, the amount of great, like, restaurants, for example, there is in St. John's.
Oh, yeah. It's almost intimidating how cool it is.
It kind of makes me sad to think that, you know, like, you can just see Alan Doyle rip out and get just the most delicious lunch or whatever down the street. Where it's like, I don't have that privilege.
It's not.
Even though I live near a major city, there's no like 5-minute place where it's like you're going to get the best fish in the world.
It's not cool because it's trying to be cool. It's cool because it just is. And real cool is hard to compete with.
Yeah.
Like it's just cool.
But that's, I know, but I'm saying they have all that like, the Michelin quality eats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think there's been enough like talented chefs that are from there and that actually probably go there because they love it. So it's just an interesting place where you'd think you wouldn't, you know, want to live the entire year there, but it's like people do it and they love it.
Yep.
Same with Winnipeg. Winnipeg's sneaky for that. Like people that, the opportunities of great eats in Winnipeg are unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, we've talked before about how I feel
like... It's damn cold, though. That's some cold. Like, right now, it's been minus 20 for, like, 2 weeks, and it's not fun whatsoever. But it's probably minus 50 or 60 there, where you go outside and you all of a sudden your stomach hurts because you can't breathe.
Right. Like, that's some bull-ish.
Yeah.
There's nothing cute about that kind
of whatever. Bull. It makes you stronger, I guess.
When people from Winnipeg would go to Nova Scotia and say, like, oh, man, I can't stand it. It's so damp here.
That's true.
It's all what you know?
It's dry. Because, yeah, the old chapstick as soon as you get out of Ontario.
Yeah.
from the dry lips.
I remember the first time I was there with Randy and Leahy to do a show at the Burton Cummings. And mm-hmm. it was Winnipeg in the winter. And I remember when I was trying to have a little shutdown napski in the afternoon. And when I would roll over in the bed, it was like fireworks because it was so dry. There was so much static. I'd never seen that before.
Just crackling?
Yeah. Like little fire.
Crackling bed.
Today's special crackling is a show that... That must have been unique to Ontario too, was it? Because I've heard people talk about it. I don't ever have a reference. Yeah.
I'll tell you, we
people love
one
that.
Thing we also need here in the house is a humidifier there in the furnace.
Oh, she gets dry in there?
Oh, man, big time. And the water's hard as a rock. It's like every single thing that you think you didn't need, you'd got to do.
Do you know what I did?
Water softener.
You know, we're at the podcast exchange and nice bunch of folks there. And Lena sent us a gift card for the holidays, which is super nice.
Yeah.
For totally. $99 on Amazon, I bought a 16-inch rain shower head because ours had gotten kind of corroded and wasn't spraying straight. I'm going to tell you, if you ever want to feel like you're in the rainforest, because it's big enough that your entire body is enveloped in rain.
Yeah.
You lose a bit of pressure, I won't lie, but the girth of stream.
Like, what are you talking about? Like an umbrella of rain?
Kind of, yeah. Well, it's 16 inches square.
Wow, okay.
So it's huge. All right.
So it's like a TV.
Yeah, it's like a TV raining down on you.
And you like it? You like it?
I do. I love the sensation of it, and I love the
Have you tried
coziness?
The rainforest music in the back?
No, but I should.
Just start ripping it?
Here's my only knock against the 16 banger. If you're in a hurry and you need to get the shampoo out of your hair, it's like, come on, let's add some torque.
That's true, yeah, no, that's...
But we have a hand bomber for that.
So, no, it's for more of a, like, a spa vibes shower.
Exactly.
Than actually, like, a getting washed shower.
Exactly, but that's something that you would see if you were staying at the Four Seasons in Hawaii, and then you're realizing, you know what, $99 on Amazon. That's all that separates me from a hotel experience in my own shower.
Okay, so this is you tomorrow when you get home. You're going to be jamming to this. Let's see if I can get this dialed in for you.
Carl Money.
Hold on. I want you to picture the this while you're sitting in there. That's kind of what it is anyway. I was like, put it in the rain.
What is it?
Well, it's just raining anyway.
Oh, I thought it was like applause at the Canadian Country Music Awards or something before a live performance.
That's it. So imagine you're in there and you're like turning on and it's just louder rain coming at you. Remember the Rainforest Cafe, that place?
Yeah, it still exists, doesn't it?
Not around here. I don't know. There was one in Yorkdale. I don't think it's still
I remember
there.
That.
But it would start raining every 30 minutes.
Okay, here's a remember that. Ready? In 1990-something, Global bought the rights to a format that existed somewhere else and made a TV show called Train 48.
I remember that.
Remember?
Just the name.
Remember that?
Yeah, and just remember the name.
It was like a soap opera, and I think, I want to say they did it live. And it was on every single day, and it told the story of commuters that took the train. And like Train Friends was basically the premise.
Train Buddies?
Consider the fact, every episode was shot the same day it aired, and much of it was improvised. Right.
So it was fake? Like they're just making up stuff?
Yeah.
I remember this. It was not the best.
Train 48. Well, I admire the spirit of trying something so out there. And
that's a little bit, it's a little bit like large to expect that too, though, right? Like every day we're going to, do this.
It's a lot.
It does. You need an audience that's willing to, like, you know,
forgive.
imagine the guy's like faking illness to try and like get out of the bad train he's created.
Yeah, I'm not going to work.
Like Michael Scott improv class, all of a sudden he pulls out a gun.
That's the only thing. It's so, if your hook is we do a show every day, then you can never take your foot off the gas on that hook.
No. Well, and then it becomes more about getting the day done than what you're doing,
yeah.
Which is awful. That's the worst. You know, like, okay, it doesn't matter. We got to move on. Oh, my God. We don't have time. We got to go shoot this other part.
The show's on in 20 minutes. But I admire the risk and the size of the idea, and I admire the attempt.
Imagine like some joke that you're like, man, I really don't think that's gonna go over. It's too late.
Good enough. It's already aired. What?
It's aired.
Maybe do that one show a week.
No, you're the actor calling the guy. Listen, I just don't really think this will ruin my comedy career. Too bad it came out already.
Sorry, 2 man.
O'clock.
We don't have time. It is a lot of pressure.
Well, the other non-pressure is the fact that nobody's really watching it.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean? Like, that's another thing. Like, come on.
It's actually, I was late to discovering that is one of the first questions you should ask yourself when developing a TV show. Who would watch this? Who is it for? Yeah. And it's a question that is often overlooked. So I don't know who the viewing audience is for Train 48, because I think it was on at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So the Nans of the world, are they watching?
Well, the same person that's watching that like show with the improv thing where they would pass around that thing and they all have to make up something about what it is, and then the contestant guesses which one's true. Remember that show?
Yes, of course.
What was that show again?
The All New Liars Club.
Yeah, that's competing with that crowd.
That's a show that we should remake, though, because that was awesome.
That was a great show.
Well, here's the thing. Four people have to say what it is, and one of them's telling the truth.
Yeah.
This is a farm in the 1800s. No, it's not. It's a door knocker from 1300s England. No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's a sex toy, right? There's always person, right?
The risque adult person. No, it's not. It's a picnic basket holder. But that's balderdash, basically, isn't it?
Was it like Colin Mockery on that when he was a kid?
Wow, I don't know.
Like, right? Like, who? He's like 20.
It's like,
I feel like Shannon Tweed was on it all the time. Remember?
Oh my gosh.
There was that dude with the glasses. Right?
It's such a good show.
The guy with the blonde hair and the glasses. Yeah, he always had the cheap comments. Remember?
Someone was working blue.
And then there was the guy, host guy, always had the big snide comments there. Yeah, remember he talked like that?
I mean, why isn't that a show now?
I need to find it.
Do you think there's a clip of that on YouTube?
For sure.
The All New Liars Club? Like, but that suggests it's a remake.
Yeah, well, I'm sure someone owns that show still, so it's like, that's how they keep coming back, or they'll redo it.
The All New Liars Club.
Yeah, man, I got it right here.
Really?
Yeah, there's a bunch.
While you're queuing it up, I want to mention another Canadian show.
Oh, wow, they even have the ads. Oh, no, this is the bad intro. More of the world's greatest rivers are about to change. Okay, someone recorded this on the TV. I'm going to try this.
Of course they did. I wanted to give a shout out to Uh-Oh. Remember the show on YTV? Hosted by Scott Yaffe as a Wink Yahoo with the really high hair. He'd ask trivia questions, and when kids got it wrong, the Punisher would dump slime on their teammates.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Uh-Oh. Yeah.
Barely. Yep. Okay, here we go. The new Lars. Yeah, the host is the John Sebastian looking math. You know what I'm talking about?
So he's like a handsome devil?
No, it's tall, blonde hair with the glasses.
Listen to Pete Bart story. Eric is a
fascinating. Oh yeah, there's the dude that had the mohair, remember? Like the beard and the mohair, like the brush cut or the bowl cut. Remember that guy?
Sort of.
He's holding like a box. It looks like an old box.
That's good already.
Gently, I just say, because it is extremely old and very valuable, and we're lucky to get an object like this. I don't know if you can all see. Can you see the bottom here? There's a little glass lens in the door. There's a hole here, and one of the doors is missing here. There's a latch for it. This had a little glass lens in it, too. And this was the predecessor to what we know as the box camera today. You can see where this
is saying it's the camera,
maybe
to keep the light from hitting the photographic slide that was placed in there.
Remember Jimmy Walker was on it all the time,
yeah.
Too. He's next.
He was a ringer.
It's closed here.
Yeah.
And then there was a light that entered here too, and this came out in a photographic slide.
So he's saying it's a
camera,
a box for a camera. Now he's passing it to Jimmy.
Very much a black thing from my little great-great-grandniece. This is true, Thumbelina. And what used to happen...
See, he's just going for the gags.
And the more they say, this is true...
Yeah.
No, this is true.
Toy doll dresser.
He's saying it's a toy dresser doll, which it looks like.
Yeah, a friend made this for him. And
okay.
She can put the thing over here, the little doll will make
is he
up
lying?
In there, close the thing, keep the thing in there.
Well, he's basically saying it's a doll thing, but like the canned laughter is going crazy, like he's on fire.
You got it stashed and everything. That's this little thing. Don't believe it. Just love this.
And now here's Shannon Tweed.
Are there only three or are there four?
I'm gonna take all
there's
part
four.
Of it. He's gonna mangle that. But what it is a magician's tool. You know the thing where they slice people in half and the women's feet sticking out there? And, well, they do it with mice. It's one mouse in one end.
All right, so she's saying it's a mouse magic trick. And then this guy at the end here.
What's your guess?
John.
So far?
So far, I think it's...
The camera?
No, the Jimmy Walker one.
Okay.
It looks like it's a kid's toy wardrobe.
Actually, what this is, Shannon's real close because it has to do with critters. This is called a bee box. Out in the wilderness, one of the toughest things to do would be to track down a beehive, especially 20, 30, 40 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, this is ridiculous.
And what you would do is you would, this had a little glass here. What you would do is you would, and this opened up here, and you would catch a bee. Now,
catch a bee and
once you
know
cut
story
the bee, you raise this here, do this, and you open this up just a little
Fred,
bit.
Go find your
all right,
okay, it's the camera. What is it?
Let's see.
Cousin Thumbelina. And Shannon said it's a magician box, and John said a bee box. All right.
Okay.
Kim, how many points
now
are they
going to guess?
I'd be betting 20 points.
20 points. Let's get along here.
It's a bee box.
It's a bee box.
No way.
The annoying long one. Yeah.
Dang.
Finding bees and holding them there. So there you go.
I would have gotten blown up.
Me too. The all-new Liars Club, bud.
It's a show we should remake.
You remake it, but might have to pay Merv Griffin or somebody.
Why is it not a Canadian format?
I don't know. I feel like the original Liars Club might not be Canadian. Maybe.
Well,
it's pretty classic.
We have to look up whether there was an original Liars Club before the all-new one. There must have been.
Well, let me... Wiki fandom here in the Canadian game show. The new Liars Club was the game show where a celebrity panel, blah, 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 And this was the second revival of the 69.
The Liars Club.
Yeah, hosted by Rod Serling.
Oh, it's American, so good.
Bill Armstrong and Alan Ludden. So,
well, couldn't we just start a show called You're Lying Bot? Like, what's the difference?
I don't know. You look it up, I guess, to see if it's,
You're Lying
if
Bot?
It's still a thing. Oh, okay. What? The Next Line, hosted by Kevin Frank, was produced in 91, and that was similar to the new Liars Club.
I know Kevin
they
Frank.
Were both taped, they were both taped at the same studio, and they used the same props with a few changes.
So what is The Next Line?
What the hell? I don't know. I guess that was a lesser known one.
Like, is that like, come on, feel the blank?
Well, it's the same show with a different name. Oh, wow. I don't understand. Yeah. Bizarre. But that's it.
Speaking of remember music. That, Bizarre.
Bizarre, oh man.
With John Bynsey. We'll save that one for next time, bud. I have to check out of this hotel.
All right, Bods. We'll talk to you next time. Yeah.
Thank you. Next time from the comfort of my home. Can't wait. Say bye.